consecrated for the virgins through the veil of his flesh.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant.
Old to new, the journey of interruptions. Now, this is a lesson called from the ministration that Daddy gave the second Sunday school. We had two Sunday schools that day. In fact, one exhortation and one Sunday school, if you ask me. Amen. Okay. All right. So, Daddy taught for about 90 minutes on the issue of migrating in the seasons of harvest. And from that series, as well, that sermon, that we have taken a few lessons. So one of the ones that he definitely mentioned is this, a journey from old to new, and the journey this is the journey of interruptions. But let's look at our merit track as we go ahead. In our last lesson, by the help of the Holy Ghost, we saw that while regeneration begins at rebirth of the human spirit, true salvation continues with the renewal of the soul and ultimately culminates with redemption of the body. We all know that salvation isn't a one-off thing. When you give your life to Jesus, you say, I am saved. Yes, while that is 100% true, it is also not completely true, in that you also have other parts of your being that need to benefit from the blessedness of salvation. Let's say amen. Are we together? Let's say amen. All right. And we understood that God's goal is not merely to populate heaven, because we know what gets you into heaven. Now, why heaven? Heaven is the only place in the present that you can store a regenerated human spirit when it separates from the body. Amen. There is no place on this side of eternity fit enough to store, to house, to sojourn a regenerated human spirit outside of heaven. But that regenerated human spirit was regenerated through a power that is higher than that heaven, this present heaven. Amen. Are we together? So when people die, they go to heaven. There's nothing wrong with that statement. But understanding holistically what the Lord has in mind, his intention is not just to populate heaven with regenerated spirits. No, because as we know, if your spirit is regenerated and you land in heaven, when this present heaven and this present earth are rolled away, what happens? All those that are in heaven that just made it by the skin of their teeth, you know, quarter two, maybe he was about to rob somebody and then the police shot him. Bah! And as he was bleeding out, he just said, Lord Jesus, I commit myself to you. Have mercy on me. And he died. His spirit will go to heaven. But when they roll away the present, hallelujah. All right. So this person says the dead, the graves will give up their dead. Leave, don't overthink that one. It's kind of mind that how would that happen? Forget it. God will give everybody a brand new body that's qualified for the next age. But depending on our salvation level, that's where the various bodies will be found. So if that armor brother we talked about, that one that shot was shot by police and was just bleeding out and saw that, this is the end. He started to pray, oh Jesus, have mercy on my soul. I believe in you. He gets born again, and his spirit and soul leaves his body. He goes into heaven. But in the world to come, he will be a citizen of the earth. He will not be in heaven. He will be on the earth of the world to come. Amen. But the ultimate aim of salvation, of the harvest of God, is that God wants, Jesus said it in John chapter 14. He said that where I am, ye may be also. That is his intention. And I can submit it to you that Jesus will not be residing on the earth of the world to come. Though there's only one presence of his that can make that happen. But his real place, of course, will be in the heavens. In the third heaven, the highest heaven of the world to come. And a people will surround him. So this is what salvation, when you hear great harvest, that is what God actually has in mind. Amen? Amen. So the program of salvation is not just for us to end up in today's present heaven and then at best be a citizen of the world, earth to come. The Lord wants people that will end up where he is. Amen. All right. So we understood that God's goal is not made to populate heaven, but to conform souls to the image of his son. Those are the ones that will sit with him. As he told the son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. It is this ongoing transformation from fleshly tendencies to divine alignment that qualifies one to be called a child of the kingdom. Amen. And Daddy went round up yesterday, helped us really appreciate the fact that your soul has not been saved, you know, does not mean you should not speak to people about what happened in your spirit. Amen. It's a good practice to speak to others about the regeneration of your spirit. It's the beginning of everything. And preached with the right amount of sincerity and weight, it can still do a lot in turning a soul, causing a soul to begin this journey of repentance. Amen. I know a lot of different gospels, different messages have been preached over the years, and many people get born again for different reasons. But you, when you are preaching to somebody, you will not tell them to get born again because of money. You will tell them to get born again because of witches. You will tell them to get born again because you are meant for great things in the world to come. Thanks, appetite, word of angels. What also make you higher than angels? You know, what is appetite to be a better person? I say, how that starts for you being born again. So we do not negate preaching. See Isaiah chapter 2 before we begin to study. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 and 3. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 and 3 very quickly. Okay, I will read. Thank you. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted, shall be established upon the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Verse 3. And many people shall say, many people shall go and say, come. So, while you have not ascended the mountain, as you are ascending the mountain, you can still call people, come, let us ascend this mountain. Amen? So, there's nothing wrong with you going out to preach. And you should preach. I find that if you don't preach, when I was working, I used to do something. I used to go and pick arguments with people. I don't do that again. I was much younger. But I just go and pick arguments. I want to see what I believe and how strongly I can defend what I believe. And through that, it was from evangelism. I won quite a few people in my office to, at least, well, I would say they all followed this message, but they went across to where they said, they'll come and consult me. In fact, one sister came to me once. She was angry with her neighbor. And then she was explaining all that person did. And I just saw that, this woman, if she just listens to Mommy Helen, she'll know that her life is, there's nothing strange happening to her. By the time we finished talking, she said, hey, thank you very much. Right? So, although she was a believer, but even going to somebody that's not a believer at all, there's nothing wrong, and you expected, have an opportunity to reach out to the gospel. Amen. Because the reason why you are talking about the saving of your soul is because your spirit has been regenerated. We cannot go out and start preaching salvation of the soul. First and foremost, you first preach regeneration of the human spirit. Come and be born again. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. He gave up his life for you so that you won't go to hell. It's a very powerful message and it's still relevant today. Let's say amen. Are we saying amen? All right. Okay, the lesson highlighted the intricate link between the parables of the wheat and tares and the parable of the sower. One reveals the goal, which is to replant it, as the other reveals the process of transformation, all the various hard stages we go through. All right, so today we're looking at the journey from the old to the new. Very popular scripture, which I put there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We all know it. We should all know 2 Corinthians 5, 17, right? Can we quote it? 1-2, go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, okay, it's on the screen, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's say amen. So the introduction of Christ is to expire old things and to bring rise to new things. Let's say amen. Now, man begins his life on earth, from Emmanuel's, with a brand new spirit, soul, and body given by the Creator. Let's say amen. How many of us believe that God does not do recycling? It doesn't recycle. You know, Baba Jide. Baba Ojideo. Baba is with Jesus. If Baba walks before the Lord. Yetunde. Ye has gone. You know, Yetunde means mommy has come back again. Subtly reincarnation. We don't believe in reincarnation because it is not true. God does not have a shortage of raw materials. they are finishing. Oh, let's abortion. Let's not die. Pack. Put a recycling plant. Recycling is physical. It's not. God doesn't do that. So he got everyone that came is brand new. Let's say amen. But as soon as the baby is born from Emmanuel, old starts acting on it. Somebody say old. Start again old. Have you ever wondered, why is it that from the day a child is born, once he's one day, you call him one day, 5 months, 1 year, 10 years, 50 years, everybody's always, because old begins his curriculum from day one. And it's being wired into our psyche. Old. It's not just a statement. It's a law. Pastor, thank you so much for yesterday. Pastor, let me not say. Pastor, type blessed fact. I was so blessed that yesterday. That's a digression. But thank you, sir. It's a law that if you come here, you can be born in Buckingham Palace, you'll be one day. You can be born under the bridge, you'll be one day. You can be born in space, you'll be one day. If I 1 hour, 1 minute, why always old? They are telling us something. Because from then, it's a countdown. It was not like that in the beginning. Adam was not, they didn't say, okay, Adam was made and now Adam is so old. Old is a statement that came as a result of death. Old was not even in the everlasting of God's presence. When God, everlasting of this present. God never designed Adam to fade or get old. We're not counting his age in numbers. They were counting his stature in proximity to the tree of life. That's how they measured his age. Amen. So old is not just, do you know what? I know when you are young, you want to be old. So when I'm 10, I can't wait till I'm 20. Then when you are 30, I wish I was 25. You know, old is the economy of the present. You know, old and new even does not are too inferior to describe God. God is never old, he's never new. He is what? Am. That is ageless. God is what? Am. He always is. It was the introduction of the top down to everlasting life and the reverse levels of life that began to see this gradation. In eternity, eternal life, everything is as it is. They don't count age. They don't count time. Amen. That's why you say, God, this as old as you are. It's not old. But the way you describe it, you understand what you mean. As old, you have been there since. You say, but the sins that have been there, I've been there before there was a thing. I don't understand what I'm saying. He was there before new was a law. All right, Pastor, you blessed me so much yesterday. That thing has been, fact, it was my meditation almost till I slept. I don't want it to keep intruding. I also bless it's intruding into my discipline. Amen. We're talking about old to the new. Let's say amen. This continues until the old nature completely takes over the running of the life of the being. So a baby is born, brand new spirit, brand new old soul, brand new body. Then there comes a curriculum of this world to teach that soul the doctrine of old. And then you pattern all your life pursuits. Every the way you are living is according to the doctrine of old. You can't help it. You are giving pass mark or failure according to the doctrine of old. Your standard of life is based on the doctrine of old. That is what sin and death introduced to man as an economy. All of a sudden, there was a countdown. Adam had no countdown until he ate that fruit. There was no countdown. Because there's never been countdown in the... God existed before time. Think about that. Part of the things he created was time. Part of the things he created was laws. Laws are back again. He created laws. He created time. He created all the things that Satan used to concoct his own economy. So he just found a way of making man expire or making things fade or making things grow old and wither and die. Wither and die is not in the economy of eternal life. It's not even in the economy of everlasting life of the present that God instituted. It took an introduction of a negative everlasting covenant to cause men to begin to count down. Amen. Are we together? Are we together? Hallelujah. So the moment we are born again, or regenerated, or that's the regeneration of our human spirit, heaven expects the transformation of the soul to begin, the journey from the old to the new. Because actually you got born again at 20 years. You have used the economy, the doctrine of old to live for 20 years. You have used it, it has prospered you. You have used it to go to school, you have used it to do, you have used it to mark progress in your life as it were here, but you use the doctrine called old. Along comes Jesus Christ as a doctrine. He says, if any man be in Christ, and that he has taught us, this is not just you getting regenerated, because your spirit can be regenerated, and you are not launched into the program of the new for your soul. Like we said time and again, you can get born again for many reasons. Many different reasons. That's not the reason for the gospel. And I think that thing must be frustrating Satan. But that's the power of God. That's the power of God. Somebody will preach a message that if you hear it, you get angry, and then some people are getting born again. God passed through this one too. If you heard some messages, you know that if you are God, you will not answer that regeneration. It's like nobody should. But God will take fruit from it. The unfortunate thing about that is that the soul is now launched to a journey that is not actually what the regeneration of the human spirit is for. Do you understand? So one of the blessings we are enjoying in this church and local assembly and along under the covenant of the word of righteousness is the reason for your born-againism is being restored. The real reason. There are ancillary benefits which will not excuse us, amen. Will not escape us. Let's say amen. Somebody said, we do not seek your hand, we only seek your face. And one man of God said, I'm seeking everything. If God has face, has hand, has leg, has eye, has nose, I want everything. I say, I understand what he's saying. I understand what he's saying. But you do graduate. Because in that face are the things that the hand can provide, you know, understand? But I understand what he was saying too. Understand? So, I said that to say that your being born again does have benefits. Amen? And whilst there are benefits, for example, maybe you are an alumni of a school. You are not alumni, you went to a school and they give you a t-shirt of the school. You know, the reason for going to that school is not the t-shirt. If all you got from that, your 4 years, is the t-shirt, you know, at some point, you'll be okay with it. I have a t-shirt. I'm like, oh, wow. MIT. Wow. MIT. Don't graduate. The t-shirt you always say, you're MIT. Who knows what, sorry, if you don't know what MIT is. They say it's a very popular university for technology. One of the top ones. So if you're MIT, say, you went to MIT. Oh, wow. So then you don't graduate. Or you don't behave like somebody that went to MIT. You're just wearing the t-shirt. So there are ancillary benefits of being born again, but that's not the reason. Now, the reason for the word of righteousness is to help you understand the reason. And of course, if you've been a child in the house, you will definitely have journeyed along that. We will not go down that route so much, but we'll refer to it in some places. Amen. So heaven expects, after you're born again, heaven expects transformation of the soul to begin. That's the journey of the soul from the old to the new. It's the soul that learned the old. The spirit was immediately changed to be an order of the age to come. But the soul has known and used a doctrine to live and prosper. And like we keep saying, it is difficult to repent of something that's working for you. That's why at the beginning of your born again experience, many a times, the goals of your life and the goals of a grade one unbeliever are the same. Quoting Pastor Tokwe, they are the same. You can't say the difference, be too much difference between the goal. Why are you alive? It's just that one is doing it by himself, one is doing it in the name of Jesus. You understand? And for a while, it's acceptable. But that is the reason for the interruption. Let's say amen. Amen. From Manos. Now, this journey from the old to new is not an easy journey. It is marked by interruptions where God steps in and breaks the natural flow of life to direct us towards his eternal purpose, which is what? Salvation. Let's say amen. Amen. Now, you and I already know, without even being preached to, you know how a life should go. When you are born by 2-3 kindergarten, right? By 5 primary school, Fisher primary school around 8, 9, 10, right? By 11, you should be in secondary school, right? You finish by 16, 17. Ceteris paribus, you move on to university by 18. Maybe by 23, you finish, right? Right, 23, 24, maybe you work for 2 years, 25. Get married by 26. You start dating 25. This is a good, This is not I'm not a normal, what we call as this is a normal human being, a good human being. Normal to da. You know, that thing can be intercalated with all sorts of detours. Maybe the guy starts taking drugs at 17 and then doesn't finish school, or the girl gets pregnant at 18, all those ones. I'm not talking, leave all those ones. Let's do the normal one. At 26, you bring a one person home. Your mom likes the person. Your dad loves the person. By 27, you're married. 29, you're giving birth to two of the children. By 30, you're giving birth to your last child, so that your ship can start going back and the guy can start. Or maybe you just give birth to one child because you want to be traveling the globe. So me, my husband, myself, and Junior. And so you by then you're amassing wealth. By 40, you built your house. There's some exceptional by 29, they built a house. So let's say by 40, should have built a house. 40, well, I've stopped paying rent. Still work up retirement. By 45, I'm at the peak of my profession, at the peak. One of the managers, as in directors. I've done that for another 15 years. By 60, I retire. And then what else? You know this I'm saying? I'm not it anywhere. It's here. All of us know it. By 60, what happens? You retire. Then what do? Before you retire, what did you do? You built what? Retirement home on the beach, right? So you just go there, you sip in pina colada in the evening, you're watching your children grow, and then first your grandchildren start coming, and then you're just basking, and at the end, you just say, okay, then you will all your property, you know, get houses for your children, get houses for your grandchildren, and then by the ripe old age of 89, 90, you just sleep, and you don't wake up again. And when you hear that's how somebody's life is meant, you'll be grateful. Say, wow. Life well spent. And that you see, that when you breathe, see, everybody breathe in, breathe out, breathe in again. You see, what you are breathing in and out is that doctrine. It's in the air. You cannot escape it, except there is an interruption of your journey. Amen. Are we together? You can't escape it. This is why Christianity is so important. A friend of mine once told me, he said, Christianity is a counterculture to every culture that's on the face of the earth. And I held it. I said, that makes a lot of sense. He's a very smart chap. He's not a Christian. But he said that to me, and I've held it. He said, Christianity is a counterculture to every culture on the face of the earth. Meanwhile, it has its own trajectory. It has its own pathway. Amen. Now, the goal of Christianity, the reason why Jesus Christ came to shed his blood, is to have many sons in glory, to put it very simply. Many sons in glory. Now, that statement I've made, as simple as it is the reason for all the hordes of hell persecuting the church, is the reason for all the colorations of doctrines of life and eternal life, lasting life, is the reason for all the mis-explanations or misinterpretations of life that have plagued the church, and also not just plagued the church, have been the foundation of people's lives from the time they're born to that. Even when they are Christians, they still hold on to those foundations. Amen. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler was a type and shadow of what I just said. He went through all these things. But there was something in the rich, and I'm going ahead of myself, but we'll come back to that. There was something in the rich young ruler that made him realize that he was missing something. You know, this thing I just said now, you can go through life as a, let me add something to that scenario. Along the line, you became a lay reader in your church. Not a lay reader is. Who knows what a lay reader is? Okay, Orthodox background. Orthodox background, you are not clergy. You are laity. Clergy, pastors, laity at the congregation. So they have lay readers. Lay readers are people who, they are not clergy, but they have the opportunity to come to front the people and minister. And it's an honor that I'm not a pastor, but I am a lay reader. It used to be now, but I don't know if it's like that now. But in the Orthodox in those days, yes, a lay reader. In fact, there's one of our brethren who's now in Abuja. As long as she's a lay reader, any Methodist church she goes to in Nigeria, if she gives them a certificate, they will allow her to preach. Because she has worked dedicated her life there. So I'm saying that, so you add that to him. So that gives you a semblance of, I've done God's own as well. Should I get him? You understand me? I've added God's own to my whole story. So yeah,
So that qualifies me to have a life well spent and then end up in glory. So put on the epitaph, call to glory. And I say, Baba was such a, Mama was such a, Mama. But vis-a-vis the reason for the shedding of the blood of Jesus, that soul, I'm sorry to say, I'm not even sorry to say, because our God honest truth, that soul failed. That soul did not maximize his potential as a human being. Amen. You know, to maximize your potential as a human being is not to use all your talents. Amen. Some of your talents are bullock. Some of your talents are bullock. Some talents you shouldn't use. You sacrifice them. But to maximize your potential is to eventually house God. That is the highest honor that a human being can receive on this side of eternity. That God can decide to dwell in you. Say, to this man will I look. Broken heart and contrite spirit. Where is the place you made from? Where is the place of my rest? And that's the man I will look to. If you can achieve that in the days of... See that thing there. If you can achieve that, I can tell you, the world may never celebrate. I will probably never celebrate you. But I can tell you, you know what Daddy was describing in Jonah's book? Those people have high honor in eternity. High honor. Maybe not celebrated here, but very high. And that realization is what true Christianity should bring to a soul. If your Christianity or your Christianity is not elevating the world to come higher than this present, so that so much so that when you are asked to make a choice, you find it difficult to make a choice for the world to come as against a choice for here, then you are not hearing the gospel. The gospel will elevate you from the gospel will make you new. That newness, which is come to, is what leads to, it's what leads to, it's from that newness that God comes to adopt his children. God will not adopt anyone with that old nature, that old pursuit. It's an impediment. It's an impurity. It has to be dealt with. It's not compatible with that world. Why? Because it has its own author. And its own author does not have God's interest at all in heart. Let's say amen. Are we together? Without divine interruption, a believer, even if he's saved, may continue in a pattern that lacks fruit, growth, or eternal value. This lesson explores how heaven interrupts our old life and awakens us to put off the old man and actively pursue the new life in Christ. Let's say amen. Now, Daddy was talking about interruptions yesterday, two weeks ago. And he said something. He said, blessed are you if God interrupts your life. Now, I know all of us here, I don't need to be a prophet to know that all of us have had an interruption. If we ask anybody, oh yeah, where would you have thought you'd be right now? I'm sure it's probably not here. But the place that you painted that was probably advantageous to you. Maybe you, for all of us, I know, like it's very easy for all of us, our bank accounts will be bigger than it is now. Everybody. Maybe not Pastor Tayo or Daddy or Mommy or my pastors. But for me now, you are in front of me, sir. So for me now, you might probably have wished that you have more unku in your bank account. At least that one. At least that's universal. So many reasons, so many ways you would have planned your life. And God knows that if he leads you to plan your life, you will never plan it to end up in him. You will plan it to be comfortable enough. Yeah. That's what gave rise to statements like, I heard this from Mommy Helen. Somebody would say, even if I just make it to heaven and I'm a gate man, I shall made it. And Mommy asked the person, he said, why don't you want to be a gate man here? He said, God forbid. I said, you see, that heart is not actually correct. So you mind being a gate man? Gate man, that's you are far from the top floor. Far from the top floor. But at least it's a humble. No. That your humility is not for that kind of thing. That one is lack of spiritual drive. You don't have any ambition to be anything spiritual. We just as though we should have ambition. We should have ambition to see Jesus. You think everybody will see Jesus? That's the shocker. We think that we'll all see him. It's just dawned on you that he will be far from some people, and it will pain them. Why? Because the reason why it's not paining you now, because you are distracted. There are so many things that are saying themselves to you right now that they are more important than Jesus. Many things. Your phone, your Instagram status, your reputation online, your digital footprint, your market, your job, your husband, your children, your ministry. How many things are so, you say, more important to you than Jesus? Why not all those things are taken away? Because none of those things we carry out of here. And you stand face to face with him, you will see how much your soul is pointing for him and see the distance that exists because of the life gap. You will not even wait talking, you'll be ashamed. You know, you've seen some of your brethren, you just have done something fantastic, and you know you can't do so. Oh, that brother is just judging you. Has happened to you before? Hey, brother did something, or he just saw his conversation. Ah, you are ashamed of yourself. Say, Kai, can I do this thing? Ah, that brother is good, though. I'm not good, though. That is nothing compared to when you see Jesus. When you see Jesus, so I'll say to you, you'll just be confessing. Hey! I mean, Isaiah saw seraphs. So the one, Jesus reduced himself, the Lord God reduced himself to the king of the seraphs. He sat on the throne because he was the one sitting on the throne of the seraphs. Ah, he saw him. He was not the one throne of the seraphs. He saw him. He began to confess. When you see him in glory. Ah. But we are going to God. Oh, we are going to God. That must be our reality. And that's what Christianity is actually for. Amen. All right. So God will definitely have to interrupt your journey. Why? Because the normal life flow that we all have will end us up away from him with much strength and much energy. We'll do it with a lot of conviction. We will do it persuaded that we have used our life well. You know, one thing that even pains me is the ones that Jesus talked about in the book of Matthew. Says Matthew, when he talked about those that said, ah, God, we did this in your name. We did that in your name. That means they left here feeling that they had done something. Ah, that one pains me. That one scares me. You can do something here and think that you have done. Time Jesus sees me, he will know that he had people in time. He had some people in time. And he just, we done this in your name. And he said, I depart from you. I never knew you. You didn't use my provisions the way you should. You got born again in your spirit. Yes, you laid hold of some gifts. You used my energies. You laid hold of some gifts. But you did not journey from old to new. And from new, as I said, from new to all, and from all to only. Let's say amen. All right, why God interrupts our journey? One thing is because of love. Amen. From man, God's interruptions are motivated by his deep love. Baba Adeboye once said, when you hear God loves me, God loves you. God loves you means different things to different people. He said, God loves you, God loves me can mean God bless me. And that's true. He said, God loves me can also mean God chastise me. Because the Christ who he loves, he chastises. This is Baba Adeboye you're talking to. I said, but there's also another one. God loves me could also mean God sows me. So for God so loved the world, he gave his beloved. The one he loved, he gave him. So in answer to, so which God loves you and all of you? I said, God bless me. I said, yeah. Baba just spelled out our whole journey of to salvation. That's fatherly sight. That's wisdom of the elders. He just said that. He just said that and continued his message. It's because of God's love that he interrupts you. If they leave you the way you are going. So some of us have complained. Another man of God I watched once. He said, sorry, I'm quoting man of God. They bless me. He said, one of the signs that God loves you is that he will always be on your case. And he was using the scenario of Esau and Jacob. You know, from the womb, they said, Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. See the difference in God's relationship with them. Jacob, God did not leave him alone. Made sure his life was miserable until he's dislocated in his hip. That's love. See the one that he hated. He left him alone. I mean, was there no nudging for him not to marry a Canaanite or an Edomite woman? No nudging. When he was going to sell his birthright, was there nothing telling me? Ah, guy, no. Shh, God was silent. Shh. Just let him go his normal course. And you know when Jacob came back and saw him, when Jacob sent Manasseh, he said, look, say, what does he have? I have them already. So in his mind, he has not lost anything. Birthright. I don't got everything. I've gotten wives. I've gotten current. But you know, looking through history, you know his name is tagged amongst the congregation of the profane. Why? Because he did not experience God's love. So if God interrupts your life, Brian, be happy. You before you start saying why, say thank you. Because he could have left you. One prayer I always pray for myself, Lord, thank you for arresting my development in iniquity. If you leave me, I will journey. I will be there. You begin to morph. I remember one day, one of my friends came to our house and said, he had a vision. Had a vision that some people were getting some habits. And those habits were turning them beastly. They were coming to turn to horns. Hey? And I had a very bad habit then. A very, very bad habit. I can hide material on a laptop. You will never know it. It's there. Huh? But I just saw, hey, if I continue like this, I will turn beastly. I said, I don't want to turn beastly. I began to repent. Now, that's a kind of an interruption. If that didn't come, he could have left me, and then probably that would have turned beastly. Then maybe I'll not be here today. I'm trying to say that the Lord must always interject your life. If he doesn't, then you are not being called to salvation. It's a sign of his love. So, I when I say your life, you know, there's a way we've all planned our lives in our mind. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it is wrong to have natural goals. When you finish school, you want to get a good job. No, there's nothing wrong with that. But all of those things must be done with a heart of, Lord, what is your mind concerning this? And I can tell you, sometimes the Lord doesn't tell you. He will just begin to scatter things. Sometimes, that's why you need a pastor. We should get into it. That's why you need a pastor. Because sometimes the devil also scatters things and you think that is the Lord. It's not the Lord. Sometimes it's the devil. But the issue of interrupting your flow is not just, it's not just God spoiling your show. He's arresting a course of the old that if they leave you, you will run it to the end. You just go the way all things become old and the old and perish. And that is not his vision for you. And that's what Christianity came to arrest. One of the things that Christianity is supposed to give to us is an inheritance, what? Incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade. If you hold something that does not fade, you have to be unfading to hold something that doesn't fade. Abby? Because if you fade and you hold something that's unfading, that's unfading, then you are gone. And things just, and the thing just remains. Amen. The thing just remains. So for it to give you an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that faded not away, you means you must have it. In fact, that inheritance is to turn you to an unfading being. Amen. Read for Manos, love does not leave us to perish in comfort or complacency. It calls us higher. I know that was the pain of the rich young ruler. He could not, you know, Jesus concerning Jesus. Jesus loved him. You know, he had the way his life was going. He had gotten a whole lot of accolades and accomplishments with the way his life went. But God looked at Jesus, looked at him, and said, and he loved him. I said, okay, let's take a detour. In fact, let's redirect the course of your life. Because the way you are going, you will fade. You eventually go the way normal everybody goes. You grow old and you will die. I want you to inherit something. All right. Go sell all you have. Now, don't invest it. Go and give it to the poor. It's like saying, start your life afresh. It's like saying, be born again. But if you tell somebody has money to sell all he has and give it to the poor, it's like telling him to be born again. It's starting again. Sell all your, you know, all you have is not all your furniture. It's everything you have. Your houses, your cars, your land. Everything. God told Jesus, sell all you have. Do you know that that's what the disciples did? It's just that in their own form, he just said, follow me. Just said, Paul, Peter, follow me. What did Peter leave? Peter left everything. He left his ship. He left his ship. He had a ship. He left his ship. I'm sure it was, whether he's rich or poor, I don't know. I know he was, I had a ship. For you to have a ship, you must at least have some boys that work with you, because one man cannot have a ship. He left, he just turned and followed him. And see what it earned him. Today, he's in the foundation of the city. You know, that doesn't mean anything to a lot of Christians today, the foundation of the city. Who don't help? It's because of this place. By the time we begin to see more clearly, we will appreciate the weight of spiritual things. They are far more weight and far more important than the things we use our lives to pursue here. Amen. So one great reason why God interrupts us is because of his love. Another reason is He wants to awaken the soul. Daddy was talking about it. That you can be born again and you are still remaining in the congregation of the dead. That's what he was talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. Remember we read that in Ephesians chapter 5. So wherefore, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. And Paul was writing to believers. Many they had regenerated in their spirits, but there was a stagnation in their souls. They were not using their lives to pursue things that matter. And for that reason, God said they were dead. Another way to put it, they were not engaging faith. Because once you start engaging faith, they mark you as being alive. That's why the first thing the Lord brings to you on your journey from old to new is faith. It's called the faith of the Son. They bring it to you to begin to show you how the Son lived so that you get to reorder your life at the leading of the Spirit against the course of this world. Amen. Many of us, you see, there are many detours we have taken in our lives that have led to us even still being alive now. That if we went the course we wanted to go, some of us might not have been physically alive. Why? Because there's great enmity against God's children. So when the Lord comes to interrupt your life, it's a blessing. Amen. It's a blessing. The reason why we are so fortunate now is that we have templates, or we have explanations that can be given to you about the states of your life when you get here. You know, one of our daddies, person of our daddy, Dr. Lamikara, in the UK, I had the privilege of hearing also a little bit of his story, and I made a conclusion from what he said. The Lord God launched him into faith of the Son without the vocabulary for it. Now, many believers, once that detour comes, they begin to say, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? That's why it's good to drink milk well. When you drink milk well, you appreciate your father. You have a relationship strong enough with your father so that when the detour comes, you know that he's faithful. Oh, he's faithful. He's faithful. He's not detouring my life to punish me. He's detouring it because there is a goal. Amen. As Daddy's daughter said, God has a need. You don't discuss your needs of your needs with your children or your babies. You have children, you don't discuss your needs with them. Right now, I got my son. I say, right now, I'm saving up rent for next year, saving all your school fees, trusting God. It's beyond his pay grade. After I said that one, he can be asking me for money for biscuits. Because it makes noise. So there needs to be a coming of age. Now, how do you come of age? You need to be subjected to a path that will cause you to mature. That was what the wilderness was for. Amen. The wilderness is where they begin to turn you from old to new. You should journey out of Egypt in the wilderness. You are leaving Egypt, but then Egypt should begin to leave you. Meaning you are trained to receive the promise. And it's only new beings, amen? It's only men that are new that have a chance of receiving the promise. Says Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. So if any man is being experienced, Christ is a new creature. Why is he a new creature? A new creature because he's now given the opportunity to hope for something that he would never have hoped for, even though he was born again. So you see that when you've grown a little bit, the difference between your life pursuits begins to change. So your unbelieving friend that was there, that tell you, okay, we need to make it. And then you tell him, no, we'll make it in Jesus' name. We'll make it in Jesus' name. All of a sudden, he just finds that you're not trying to make it anymore. Then he begins to tell you that, you have lost your drive. In fact, you're NFA now. I say, no, I have a better hope. There are things I'm living for that are more important than this. And then he doesn't understand you. Why? Because you're not heading in the same direction. Now that person is not heading in your direction. Don't look for praise from him. He cannot interpret your life. The Bible says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man is spiritually discerned. And him is not discerned of anybody. They can't understand you. Neither can they commend or disprove your journey. Amen. They cannot commend, neither can they disprove your journey. Because they're not heading the way you're heading. Even yourself, you don't know the fullness of where you're going to. But you shall know it's not where he's going to. My life is more than meat. I remember when that came to me as a revelation. 2016. I was in the car coming from work. I just said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. It altered my life. I said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. You know, if God gives you that kind of detour, almost all your people will tell you that you are an NFA. Why? Because they will not see you driving the way they are driving towards receiving earthly things. Amen. But those detours, those interruptions are greatly required for the Lord to reach us even as we continue to our road to salvation. Which brings us to point three. The one reason why the Lord interrupts our journey is to redirect our life towards the God's agenda of salvation. For our man, was a rich, strong ruler, encountered Jesus. That was the divine interruption. So though he had wealth, youth, and power, Jesus offered him something more. A journey to becoming new. Come and start this journey. He was given a chance to lay up treasure where it matters. He went away sorrowful and did not profit from this interruption, thereby losing an opportunity to secure his lot in God's eternal agenda. That will not be apportioned in Jesus' name. You know, when Jesus, God told us, I set before you death and life, death and life. You know, they set before him death and life here. Jesus, he asked Jesus, what can I do to get life? God, Jesus told him what you do to get life. And he didn't do it. What does that mean? He chose the way of death. But if you look at what he did, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't take anybody's wife. He didn't 419 anybody. He just chose to continue in the normal flow of every human being. And if you continue that normal flow, you end up where all old end up. That's called grave. I'm not talking about the 6 feet grave. Grave is already a wearing up. Grave is what old directs everyone to. It is emissions from the grave that's calling everybody. Koya, come this way, come this way, come this way, come this way. Old, come this way. Because everything that's old ends up in the grave. And it's Satan that is the Gehenna, that's a grave, or Hades. It's Satan that is the author of that doctrine. That will not be our journey in Jesus' name. To shift us from existing to living. We know he said the just shall live by faith. Jesus Christ came and said, I come that you may have life and have more abundantly. So the just shall live by faith. So you only start, you know, you can be born again, but your soul has not started trapping life until it begins a journey through milk, meat, and eventually to strong meat. It begins to live. And of course, we have been taught time and again, it starts with emotions of faith. Let's say amen. All right. Recognizing divine interruptions. So it's good to note that not all of one's disruptions of one's life are divinely orchestrated. Trials of life happen to everyone. Amen. Amen. You know, if you live long enough, you go through things. Whether you're born again or you're not, this life has a way of putting you things. That's just living, because it's just a messed up place, this world. So you go through things that God never designed any human being, even his enemy, to go through. So don't misconstrue that to be, the Lord has what we call dealings. No, not everything is a dealing. Dealings will have to be divinely or spiritually discerned. Amen. So that we don't open our arms and allow the devil to deal with us and say in the name of dealing. So trials of life happen to everyone. However, divine interruptions come with a sense of purpose and call that is not always recognized immediately. Very important. The enemy sometimes takes advantage of this avenue to afflict the journeying believer. Sometimes he does that, especially in the wilderness. But we thank the Lord, because in the wilderness, he has not left us without a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, as it were, which is direction. Somebody say direction. For example, you might, the Lord may not explain to you all the ramifications, but that's why if you drink milk well, you should be able to recognize your Lord at work. Papa Yegi said, one sign of spiritual maturity is recognizing God at work. Drink milk well, you recognize the move of the Spirit. Because when they are moving you from Goshen to wilderness, it is a different dealing, but your familiarity with the way your father moves will give you a sense of stability. That we saw, for example, in only two people in the wilderness, like Joshua and Caleb, had that stability so much so that they were trained by milk and, of course, in the wilderness, so much so that when they came to the promised land, they knew that God's word trumps everything. Amen. Something that everybody else in the camp did not have. So when they sent 12 spies, only two believe that what God said is bigger than any giant I am seeing. That comes from a relationship that didn't start just then. It will grow from milk. I believe that they were prophets in Goshen, but I believe they were not, I'm not saying Joshua and Caleb were prophets, but there were some prophets in Joshua, in Goshen. But there was something unique about the relationship of Joshua and Caleb with the Lord, even in Goshen, that caused them to survive the wilderness. They went through the 3 days fasting. They went through the 40 years of punishment. You know, God was leading them for 40 years, not The 40 years was not to redeem them. The 40 years was to kill them. You check it. He said, for 40 years, I will lead you until every one of you from 20 and above, none of you will enter that promised land. And he was leading them. But there was something in Joshua and Caleb that allowed them to survive all that. Even Aaron didn't survive it. So it's not a thing about being a pastor. Or not. There is a dealing or a working of the Spirit in a soul that will allow a soul to profit in the days of interruption. It's not always pleasant, don't get me wrong. I cannot tell you categorically that when Joshua and Caleb did not drink water for 3 days, they were smiling. I can't say that. But I know one thing, they didn't murmur. They didn't murmur. There was something different. Them and Moses did not murmur. There was something different about them. There was a difference because another spirit. Amen. May we get that other spirit. Paul writes in the Galatians, brethren, in Galatians 3:2, he said, "This only I will learn of you." He said, "Received ye the Spirit by the work of the law, by the hearing of faith." So what preaching or what the message of the gospel, even the born again message, when you first heard the sincere original version, should impart to you a spirit for journey. It should impart to you a sense of, not a sense of arrival. Ah, I'm saved now. Wow. All things are good. No, it's a sense of journey should impart you with. I believe that if Paul or Peter preached went to a bus stop to preach now, with the anointing and grace that they have, they will quick start the journey of change in people. Because of the message they will preach. People will receive spirit. And that's the kind of message you should long to be. It means that when you tell people to burn again, they immediately begin to have their hearts are directed towards the right aim, the aim of Christianity, which is to save the soul and eventually redeem the body so that we are all where Jesus is. Let's say amen. All right. Okay. The enemy sometimes takes advantage of this avenue to afflict the journey believer. So being under spiritual covering and proper alignment to the leading of the Spirit will greatly help us in deciphering these experiences. So if you're having a major shift in your life, please, it's good to consult your pastor. Don't just assume, God is dealing with me. God is dealing with me now. Be under authority so that it can be better interpreted. All of them were supposed to follow Moses. They could curse Moses in Goshen and be okay. But if you curse Moses in the wilderness, it's dangerous. You can cost you dearly. So Moses was sent there and brought back so that he can lead everybody. Same way our Lord Jesus was sent and was sent, going to be sent back to bring us all into glory. So he knows the way. So when he's talking, we should listen. And he in his wisdom has set over us authorities that he has placed over the church so that that journey of salvation will not be maligned by the enemy. Because many times the enemy will accuse you. Your life is going. What's he telling you is that old grave nature is the one that is going. That's what he's trying to tell you. And as you grow in understanding, we appreciate the mercy of God for those interruptions. Okay, so whether a dramatic interruption like Paul on the road to Damascus, that was an interruption of his life. You know, Paul thought he was doing God's will. Amen. You know, Paul thought he was doing God's will. Sincerely, in his heart, sincerely. Type and shadow of somebody who believes the reason why he's born again is so that he can make money, so he can sponsor the gospel. And he's going all out. He has a sincere goal. They have to interrupt that person's life because the Bible says, if you will be rich, you will pierce yourself through many sorrows. It's in the Bible. Right? So to interrupt that kind of, that person's flow, of course, sincerely, like Paul, he might not have known, but the Lord dramatically came and interrupted his life, which transformed the persecutor to a profound apostle, or detours of Moses from a prince. He was in Egypt as a prince. He now ran into the wilderness and first of all worked a little bit as a warrior that landed him in Jethro's house. And then to a shepherd and finally to the mighty deliverer of Israel. So interruptions of one's life are key to connecting to divine destiny. So how do we respond to interruptions? We need grace to obey quickly and fully. Let's say amen. I wanted to marry one sister like that. And I did not obey quickly or fully. And I suffered dearly for it. Because the Lord will not allow. May you not win God. May you not win Jesus. I was hell-bent. That's the right word. I was hell-bent on marriage. I said, no power. I will marry this one. Lord said, if you marry her, you have children. Oh, I will meditate for days. I said, I don't want children. So if you know, it's just foolishness talking. Say, if you marry her, you will not, you will be, if I will, you will be begging. The guy. We will beg together. And then I said, okay, I'm not giving that to you. I said, how about now? You should not be a believer. I said, I'm not giving you, sir. I said, I'm not giving you. And the Lord did not allow me. It was talk of war for 4 years. And it cost me dearly. It did cost me dearly. It does not pay. Thank God my story was not like Rishon Ruler. I didn't go away sad. I returned to my Lord with trembling. That's why I say kabiosi is a reality. Don't ask him questions. Don't ask him questions. Don't ask him too many questions. Don't ask him too many questions. You know, this generation likes to ask questions. I know, you like to ask questions. Well, somebody says, because we grew up in military, that's why we don't ask questions. That this generation, they ask questions. I said, God is not a military. God is God, you. It's KBAC, you. What's KBAC mean? The one you don't ask questions. Amen. But you know, the sad thing is that the Lord can actually leave you and say, okay, this person, I'm so grateful he didn't leave me. I'm so, so grateful. I have a witness in my spirit that I would have died after 7 years. I don't have that witness in my spirit. I would have died after 7 years. I don't know why. And I knew it in my back of my mind when I was going through that other shenanigans. So the accurate response to heaven's interruption, and interruptions comes in many ways of fashion. You want to marry, job you want to do. No, those are courses you already have in your mind. When you've grown enough, you begin to learn to hand over the reins of those places. That has taught us there are three places in your life that are cardinal. Who you marry, where you live. Who you marry, where you live. What's the third one? There's a third one. The job you do. Those three things can alter your destiny if you're not careful. So people have gotten a job and we have not seen them again. We are looking for them under Ikporobi. We can't find them under crude oil. They have gone. Yeah, and it's like that. It's like, but someone said, but why did the Lord not interrupt? When you see the Lord asking, as for me, they did not allow me. And for many of us, you experience that they did not allow you. You are crying. You are weeping. And they will not still allow you. They will not still allow you. It's blessing. Because that path is the path to old. Amen. It's the path to old. And as you grow in things of the faith, when you begin to realize that you don't know the way, you become more and more grateful for those interruptions because it means that somebody's directing. Like Daddy gave us an example recently about himself, that why the Lord told him that there's a way he had been responding to things before. He said, where you are here now, you can't respond to these matters like this. That's a change of direction, which is actually a change of nature. Amen. Because a change, they're showing you, okay, this is the way you should walk now at this level. This is the way you should respond to this matter. He's showing you his mind. As you receive more and more than that, you have a better chance of becoming like him. Because you know the aim is to conform to his image, Abby. Unless it's just a statement and it's not a reality. To conform his image means you should look like him, to be very simple. Meaning the way he does it, you will do it. How he's thinking, you think. How he responds, you respond. When he's crying, you are not laughing. When he's upset, you are not saying thumbs up. Wow, great job. Great job. You are, point that even, I dare say, your emotions have been redeemed. Amen. But the call is to respond quickly and fully. So let go of the old man. It says redirection of this journey is for the putting off of the old man. And this is not just works of the flesh, but that whole course of old that has been left for all of us by the enemy. The Lord will come and redirect us away from that course. Amen. 3, submit to the renewal process. It's not instant. Sometimes you argue, sometimes you cry, but eventually you must agree. And this is formed through obedience, word to the word, and prayer. Now, the outcome, what does it bring you? You will start bearing fruit. The fruit, you know, God is looking for harvest. Amen. We are done. God is looking for harvest. Now, this harvest, to make you fruitful, they cannot allow you to be nourished by what the world wants to nourish you with. You see, John 15:2. Yes, that's there. Can I put it up quickly? John 15:2. So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, that has not submitted to the renewal process, he takes it away. See, but every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. Meaning to bear fruit is to respond in obedience. He purges it, and then that will cause you to bring forth more fruit. Because every harvester is looking for fruit. You are not, and what is the fruit? We all know that the fruit is actually a nature. What is happening to you? Your fruitfulness is the change of your person. Something happened to me that 2010. I will never forget. 2009, December, crossover. I was in a place we were praying, and I remember I told the Lord, I said, Lord, it is you and me now. And 2010, I can't say, the Bible says, don't ever say the old days were
Never say good old days, but 2010 was a fantastic year for me spiritually. My heavens were clear. I grew so fast. Me, I knew I was growing. This one, not say I don't know where I'm growing. This one, I knew I was growing. First, I was visiting. Why? Because I agreed with, if I agreed in 2006 or 7, maybe it was started then. I delayed for 4 years. You will start bearing fruit. I'll be hearing different statements. Eventually, I ended up in New Orleans Way Church. Different statements, I said statements by the Spirit, making mention of different things, making mention. I said, wow, where was this? For 4 years, that thing was gone. Because I wanted to marry somebody. Is it worth it? So I said, for you, death and life. Let no human being be worth to you more than God. Say amen, no? Somebody's asking, hey, pastor, are you now saying? I'm not saying. That one you are saying, I'm not saying. Just see your pastor. The person is asking that question. Asking, so you are come again. So must say, must I now not like the person for? It's not about that. Yeah, don't be there. Just be led. Be led. Amen. All right, let's move from there. Spiritual maturity is the next blessing. Here in heaven redirects our journeys so that we can now mature spiritually. We will not be babies. You know, it's babies that have no interest in what their father is doing. All they have interest in is what their father can do for them. Amen. You only have interest in what your father can do for you. You don't have any interest in what your father is doing. As we grow, as we mature in the spirit, we begin to appreciate more that our father is actually doing something. Like we said time again, army of God. You see that? Ephesians 6:11. Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to 16. It's not for babies. You don't put armor on babies. You do not weaponize babies. Amen. You don't weaponize babies. If you weaponize a baby, that baby can use that weapon to kill you and kill himself. You don't weaponize babies. You train babies. Then they grow up. Then you now arm them. I'm sorry, I understand to be corrected. We need to be armed. A lot of us are not yet armed. I say, but I need to cast out devils. That is, they are looking at the general standing behind you. And they are responding to him, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But to be armed is that by your nature, you are an affront to the enemy. Like Jesus at 12 was not fully armed. The world was still calling him to the temple to come and discuss with him. When he became armed, the whole world saw him as a threat. He was, say, you know, the people that he was answering questions with in Luke chapter 2. The people are asking those doctors of the law, Pharisees. When in, was it not? See, Luke 10, he told them to your soul, he said, I am from above, ye are from beneath. You know, he didn't tell them at 12. He told them at 33, I am from above, ye are from beneath. They now knew that this is a weapon against us. Amen. And that is why that's what will make you harvestable when you are mature. Amen. Finally, the inheritance of the promise. The goal of heaven's interruptions is not just for our survival or our prosperity on earth, but to grant us inheritance of the very life to finish the journey fully saved. Amen. You can read the conclusion, but I'll just close with this. Our dad, Pastor Mika, gave us a story once. He said, you see, your life is a course of life. It's a course of life that everybody has. There are some things that should come to you in the course of your life. Now, if you allow the Lord to lead you, you will jam those things as at the appointed times. But sometimes the world makes you chase after those things. So you're supposed to get, let's say, those three stools before you leave this earth. By reason of chasing these natural things, let's say the stools are natural things, you can take detours that will expend life energy so much so that you will not even get everything before you expire. That is the deception of this world. It tells you pursue this world, you always won't get it. That's not how to get it. When I say this world now, I'm talking about this world, goods and things like that. Pursue the Lord. Follow the script of your life. All those things will be added to you along the journey. They will be added. God is that faithful. And Lord, strengthen us in Jesus' name. Are we blessed? Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm sure we've been greatly blessed. So much help. Thank you very much, Pastor. The Lord bless you greatly. It is well. The Lord is your strength, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, it's beautiful to know that it's a life of beauty when we are interrupted. God is not an hard tax master. God is not as evil as Satan paints him. God is not the one that wants to come and take your car, that fine car you just bought. Are we together? Yeah? God is not the one that wants to come and make your job of 1 million become a job of 50,000. You know, at times there is a mindset we have concerning when you hear the Lord wants to interrupt you. You're just seeing all the bad things. Yeah? And if he's not interrupting you, all the good things are happening. God is not that evil. He said, I know the thoughts that I do what? That I do what? Huh? The thoughts he has towards you. He said, they are thoughts of what? Can we read it together? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Can we read it together again? Some people are not reading. I want us to read it very loud. Now, do we believe this? Eh? Now, the person saying this, is he a liar? Now, would God be having thought of peace towards you? And the thought of peace is that he will collect all your car. You know, Satan has so much made us believe that the natural is our life. There is nothing worth holding in this natural. There is nothing worth holding. It is messy if Jesus for one day, or even half a day, interrupt your life. It is better for me to leave earth without having a car throughout my lifetime on earth, but inherit God. It is better for me to leave earth without having a child, but inherit God. Let's look at all the things that Satan has painted as a dream for man. It's better for me to leave earth without marrying, but inherit God. It's better for me to leave this earth without getting a job for one day, but inherit God. Now, all our lives should be centered around getting this being. And that is the reason why he interrupts us. God is not interested. You know, we have a destination. Every man born of woman have a destination. You know, Pastor talked about journey from old to new. Now, the end result of the old, everything called old, the end result of it is destruction. Do we agree? He said the last enemy that will be destroyed is what? Death. So everything around old, their end is destruction. But everything around new, the end is what? Salvation. Life eternal. Everything around you, when God makes you new, the end of it is for you to be saved. Receiving the end of your faith. What is it? The salvation of your soul. So God is more interested in us being saved. Satan is more interested in us being destroyed. So it is an interest versus an interest. And it's always a matter of choice. You know, God's servant Pastor was saying yesterday during Revelation that life and death is a matter of choice. Though. It's what you decide to choose. You choose God, you live. You choose death, you die. But God in his mercy, because of the love that he has for us, you know what it means that somebody paid with his own blood? This is not the blood of bulls and goats. It's not the blood of It's not turtle dove. It's not the blood of any animal. It's the blood of God himself. And because of that blood, he has taken a decision to interrupt us for love's sake. The interruption of God is not because God hates us. It's not because God dislikes us. It's because God actually do love us. If you don't get the things that quote unquote are the things, the dainty things of life, it's not because God does not like you. And God is not against dainty things. He's not against it. That is happy. God is not against it. I don't think God is one. You know, there is a way that we've seen God before. Just the day you get born again like this, you just start going lame. Or your life will get bad. Yamaje. Is somebody telling you that lie? Because the person knows that if you follow this being, you will both be saved and you will get other things. So Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Seek it to his righteousness. Get to the rightness of the kingdom. Then all these things will be added. Then you will know how to use all these things. But if you get all other things without the kingdom, my dear beloved ones, you won't get the kingdom. That's not the other. The other is get kingdom first and his righteousness, and God can add. Can we say amen? Can we say amen? So say, I would allow myself. Say, I would allow the Lord. I would agree with the Lord at the junctions of my interruption. I would not wrestle with the Lord. I would not go against the will of the Lord. I would receive grace to agree with him. All that the Lord would demand of me in this season, I receive help. I receive mercy to agree with Jesus. Because I believe Jeremiah 29:11, that he has good thoughts for me. That the thoughts he has for me, they are thoughts of good and not of evil. And he's not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. As he said it, will he not make it good? If he says that he has good thoughts for me, then I believe those good thoughts. If he says he has an expected end in mind, then I believe that expected end. I would rather choose the expected end of God than the evil expected end that Satan is painting. I will follow you, Lord. No turning back. Can we say amen? So it's a good time to say that, no. I will never turn back. Oh. It is already too late. Oh. It won't make sense. Oh. It won't make sense now. Abba. We've journeyed with the Lord. The Lord has interrupted us thus far. Let's allow the interruption to be complete. Why? Salvation is beautiful. You see that thing that Pastor is painting? It's only the way the Lord painted it to me when I was in school. I had an extra year in school. So my mates were graduating, taking picture. See me hiding, and I can't take the picture with them because I wasn't graduating. I had known my extra years is on the level. So I could not graduate, so I was just looking at them, and I was feeling ashamed. And the Lord just, at that time, it was a good time for the message to enter. He said, you see the way it is, you are ashamed? He said, that's the way people be ashamed if they don't touch glory. Hey, the thing entered. 2007, he entered. The thing stayed. He stayed. So I know that there will be shame in heaven. Shame because people refuse to allow the Lord to interrupt them. You know what Jesus told them? He said, I do not know you. Meaning, you never allowed me to interrupt you. I brought my things, you refused it. I told you, sell all you have, give to the poor. You said, no, all you have is what that matters to you. So since you didn't allow me to interrupt you, I will be the same way you were ashamed of me before men, even me. I'll be ashamed of you before holy angels and my Father. So please, dearly beloved brethren, shame, they real low. Shame real low. Shame real for heaven, no. I say, I won't be gate man for heaven. You'll be ashamed. You see, the realm of glory is not for few sons. He said, in bringing many sons, as many as are ready to enter into it, Jesus is ready. If we are up to 500 billion, Jesus is happy. In the throne of his Father is not limited. It's not a small seat. It's not a small seat that, okay, once 10 people sit, it's complete. Jesus is ready to take 1 trillion people if they are ready. Can we say amen? We'll make a vow before Jesus. I won't just be a member of New and Living Way by name, but I'll be a partaker of the New and Living Way. Because this way is real. It's called the New and Living Way. And what is the way for? It is way that will take us behind the veil. So I won't just be a member of New and Living Way because, you know, one thing is always baffling me, that is, you know, church is very cozy and very sweet. Those days of Vokes, some people will not want to come. But now everybody wants to come. Don't get carried away by this coziness. Oh. Run! Run! There is a race to run. There is an enemy pursuing us. Run and get God. Can we say amen? Eh? So we will not just be a member of the New and Living Way just by name, but will be indeed a partaker of the New and Living Way. I will not just be a member of Eternal Glorious Fountain just by name, but truly we will drink the Eternal Glorious Fountain. We will be a part of those who will inherit that glorious fountain in the name of Jesus. Can we just thank the Lord this morning for his mercy as we invite the song ministers?
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you.